welcome you to Grace Bible Church this morning. We're glad that you are here today. In our call to worship, I want to draw your attention to Isaiah chapter 66, the first two verses, which read, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite heart and trembleth at my word." Now, what a reminder we have in the very last part of the book of Isaiah of the greatness of God, and a reminder to all of us that who is greater? Is it you? Have you built me a house for me to stay in? I've made the heavens and the earth. What is a temple to me? What about a place for my rest? I have the whole universe. And you've got this little tiny tent, and you call that the house of God? You know, what a reminder. We often refer to the church buildings that we're at as a sanctuary or the place of God's abode. But God has chosen to dwell in our hearts. And He cannot be confined to a building or to a tent. All right? So it's kind of a reminder. And he says, this is what I'm looking for. I'm the great God. The heaven is my abode. The earth is my footstool. What do I look for? I look for someone that is poor and of a contrite heart and trembleth at my word. Now I wonder how many today across the world is trembling at the word of God. I would say probably relatively few, in comparison to the vast number of people that live upon this earth. And how many believers gathered all across America today in houses? How many are trembling at the Word of God? You know, that's a startling word in the Hebrew. It means to be shaken to the core. That's the kind of impact that God's Word should have in our hearts and lives. If it doesn't have that, then you're not benefiting. You're not understanding your responsibility to the great and powerful God. You're to tremble at His Word. And so I pray today as we've gathered together that we might understand and know that we serve a powerful and mighty God who is manifested all around the earth and all of the heavens beyond what we can see with telescopes. It's the domain of God. And what should my response be today? I should tremble at His Word. Let's take our hymn books, please, as we begin and turn to number 494. 494, we'll stand together as we sing, "Here am I, Lord, send me." 494, let's stand as we sing.
Lord, I give my I
Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity that we have to be in Your place today, to be able to gather around Your Word, to be able to sing songs of praise to Your glorious name. And we thank You, Father, that You sent Your Son, the Lamb, to take our place on the cross of Calvary, whereby He shed His blood for our sin, whereby He died and rose again the third day in victory over sin, death, and hell, that we might have forgiveness of sin, that we might have a way, a pathway of salvation, that we might have a home in heaven. Lord, we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. We pray this morning that You would work in hearts and lives. There may be some that are so close to heaven, but being close to heaven is not enough. We must know Jesus Christ. We must have that forgiveness full and free. We must accept His atoning work on Calvary's tree. We must repent of our sin and believe on Jesus Christ alone. I pray that You draw precious souls unto Yourself today. Father, as Christians that are gathered here today, may we take in Your Word. May we be strengthened by Your Word. Lord, it's so easy to just allow the time to slip by and our minds not fully engage in the worship of Thee, to not fully engage in the hearing of Your Word. I pray, Father, that You would deliver us from ourselves, that You would deliver us from wandering minds, and that we might be able to fully focus upon Thee, our wonderful Lord. Lord, we thank You today for bringing to us this missionary family from Chile. We thank You for their ministry that they have there in their camp ministry. Thank You for their willingness to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the young people that come and to the adults that come to their camp. We pray, Father, that You might minister to our hearts today. We might see beyond our borders. We might understand the work that's going on around the world through the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray that we might be those who pray faithfully and who give faithfully to the work of God. Father, I pray that You'd watch over many of our church families who are away today, traveling. We pray that You'd give safety and protection. Many of them returning tomorrow. We pray, Father, that You would watch over them. May they be a witness and testimony wherever they are. May they not turn a blind eye to the souls that are all about them, those that are lost and undone and needing a word and testimony of the gospel. I pray that You'd work in the hearts and lives of our people. We might be ever concerned about those who are not saved. And I pray that You'd bless this church service today. I pray there might be a knitting together of hearts in unified worship to Thee, the One who is deserving of all praise and adoration. And we'll give You the glory and the praise for all that You do. And we thank You, Father, for who You are, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn together now to number 563. 563, a reminder of the call that each one of us has to carry the gospel wherever we go to those who are lost. Go ye into all the world. 563. Let's turn to number 533. 533, this is Labor Day weekend, so we're singing a song that shows that we are to have joy in serving or laboring for the Lord Jesus Christ as we journey on our way. 533.
There is joy in serving Jesus.
Is there joy in serving Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. There's wonderful joy in serving the Lord. That doesn't mean that we don't get tired. It doesn't mean that we don't have struggles and difficulties, but it is certainly a joy to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Let's take our Bibles, please, this morning, and I want to bring a brief message to you from 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Our brother shared some of these verses with us today as we were in 1 Thessalonians. But I want to talk to you on a subject that I don't think I've ever spoken on before, and the Lord just kind of burdened me this past week. I told Mrs. Schmitz that I was planning on continuing in our series on the life of Samuel, and then the Lord just kind of sent me in another direction. And I want to share some thoughts from 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians about labor adaptability. Now, that term is not original with me, but I found it this past week reading in the Time magazine as they were sharing some thoughts about how that the labor force in America has had to adapt through the years. And they were talking about how AT&T adapted from landline to what? Cell phones, all right? They were all landline, and then they realized if we don't adapt, if we don't change with the markets here, we're gonna die. And so they adapted and they started getting into the cell phone business, and very few people today have landlines. Businesses mostly do, and there's some, but a lot of people have just gone to strictly cell phone technology. Labor adaptability. And then, of course, there is that adaptability of people who have worked a certain job for many, many years and then had to change and adapt to something else because maybe the business that they were involved with, they're no longer working, no longer in operation. So they had to adapt and change to another realm. I was speaking to someone I hadn't seen in a while, was out of here. I asked him if he was at a particular job. He said, no. My boss closed the business down, and I had to change and go into a brand new career. I had to go back to school, I had to train, and then I had to go and do something different. I said, was that hard to do? And he said, you don't believe, and you won't know how hard it was for me. First of all, to go back to school. So I hadn't been in school in 25 years. I go back to school, and you're in there with a bunch of teenagers, and he said, the whole thing was just hard. And he said, but I'm very thankful the Lord allowed me to be able to adapt. Labor adaptability in the work of the Lord. In our study, we're going to note three particular Greek words that appear in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, used or translated labor. Labor. And I want you to see here that in these verses of Scripture, Paul had to adapt in order to be a witness and testimony for Christ, in order to labor in the place of service. And my question for you today is, are you adaptable in the work of the Lord? Can you labor effectively for God and change if God needs you to do that? Or are you just stuck in one thing, that's it? Do you realize that as you go through the Scriptures, and I've noted this just in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, but there are many places in the Scriptures that indicate the adaptability of God's servants. I thought about Amos as I was studying this out. Amos, when we're introduced to him in the Old Testament, he was a herdsman and he was a fig gatherer. Now, how would you like that for a job? That all you did all day long was gather figs, and when you weren't doing that, you were taking care of sheep. And God says, Amos, I want you to be a prophet. Now, I would imagine that the first look that you would have seen on Amos's face was a deer in the headlights look. Okay? I just gather figs. I take care of sheep. And you want me to be a prophet? God said, I want you to be a prophet, and I'll give you the words to say. And Amos, one of the most powerful prophets that we have in the Old Testament Scriptures, and God used him, took him out of the sheepfold and put him into the ministry of preaching the Word of God, and God used him in a mighty way. Labor adaptability. Now, I'm gonna emphasize this morning. The three Greek words that are used, and by the way, I would encourage you to go through 1 and 2 Thessalonians and count how many times you see the word labor. It's very interesting. It appears over and over again. You see it in chapter 1, where in verse 3 it says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and, everybody say it out loud, labor of love. Labor of love and patience of hope. All right? In our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of the Lord our God the Father. Chapter 2, which is where we're going to focus our attention in verses 8 and 9. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, now get this, not the gospel of God only, but what else? But our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. Two different words there for labor that's used here. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Now get this. He said, yes, we came to give you the gospel, but we came and we labored among you with our own souls. Labor, adaptability. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians for just a moment. Over and over again, we see throughout this passage the phrases of labor, but look in chapter 3 and verses 7 and 8. Well, let's begin reading at verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with, and then there's two words for labor here, labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. You'll find this phrase in the writings of Paul, labor and travail. You probably recognize that immediately. You've heard that phrase before. Labor and travail. It's two words in the Greek language for labor. The first Greek word is makthos. Makthos. I can remember in Greek class, my second year Greek teacher, he loved to say this word. Makthos. We've gathered in this class today in order that we might makthos. And I sat there, deer in the headlights, look, okay, what is that? And the Greek word is the word for labor. Work hard. As a matter of fact, it could be translated exertion. I was watching a football game yesterday and watching this little team from Georgia, I think it was, beat up Tennessee. All right? It was unbelievable. And I watched that coach, the head coach there. He's a big guy, played football. And he was running up and down that sideline, cheering his guys on, sweating profusely. It was pouring off his face. And he was firing them up, and he was getting up in the ground. We can beat them! You can see his lips moving on TV. We can beat this team! We can beat Tennessee! I told you we could beat them! And it just kept going on. When the game was over, he was standing up. They were interviewing him. And he stood up in the room where they had all the guys together. And he was sweat just pouring off of this man. He must have had to drink a gallon of water to put out that kind of water. He was soaked, and he was saying, "Boys, guess who we just beat?" And the guys were, you know, they're all wore out. They're like, "We just beat Tennessee, coach." Yeah, you know what they did? Makthos. They just labored through, and they beat one of the better teams in the SEC. Little bitty college. Not known for winning a lot of football games, and they won the game. Makthos. The second word is ponos. It even sounds like pain. All right? Ponos. Pain. Distress, affliction caused by labor. All right? Caused by labor. And then the third word we're going to see is kopos. Kopos. And it means work, labor, and is oftentimes in our King James Bibles translated weariness. Weariness. After you've raked yards all day long. Drew, have you ever raked a yard all the way through? Yeah, Grandpa got him out there. Drew knows what I'm talking about. Now, Grandpa had him outside working in the raking leaves and taking care of the garden and so forth like that. And sometimes at the end of the day, you're what? You're tired. You're wore out. Now, I'm emphasizing this particular word here, kopos, because it's the word that's oftentimes found in the writings of the Apostle Paul. All three of these, all right, are found. Now, I want us to think for just a moment. Number one, Labor is a part of life. And it's a result of what? The curse. The curse of sin. Right? Labor is a part of life. Some people accept that and get at it. Other people spend a lot of time figuring out how they don't have to do it. Right? Now those kind of people are problematic because they're not adaptive to the labor, they're adaptive from the labor. And that's a problem because life is full of labor. Now I like wonderful things that reduce labor, but there are some people that I've met through the years that spent all their time trying to figure out how to get out of labor. Right? They were the kind of people that you gave them a task and they disappeared. You know what I'm talking about? The type that disappear. Where are you at? Oh, I'm working. Yeah. Where are you working? I'm over here behind the building working. Yeah, and you go back there and they're not working. They're not labor adaptive. They're trying to find some excuse to get out of labor. Paul the Apostle made it very clear that his ministry was one of labor and travail. Labor and travail. That doesn't sound very exciting, does it? Well, I thought the Christian work was going to be easy all the time. Everywhere you go, there's labor and travail. There's not a place in the world that has a Christian ministry that does not involve labor and travail. I want to tell you a story that blew me away. I've had this story for some time, and I said, I'm going to use it one of these days, and I want to share the true story of a Moravian missionary in 1770 that arrived on the island of Jamaica. He had been sent there from Europe to be a gospel witness. Not exactly an easy place to serve. You've been in cool Europe, and you go down to hot Jamaica. You know what he found after several months? That he wasn't able to communicate with the people there. They were hustled out, most of them slaves, working on coconut farms and banana farms and things of that nature. They were sent out early in the morning and didn't get back till after dark. And so he would go in there and he would try to speak to them, and most of them were falling asleep because they were so tired from the labors of the day. So you know what he did? He did something that almost nobody would ever do. He went to the owners of the slaves and said, I want to sell myself as a slave. And they laughed at him. He came back the next day. He said, I want to sell myself as a slave. This is the only way I'm going to be able to go and be among the people to be what I'm supposed to be, and that's a minister of the gospel. And so the owners bought him and put him in the fields. And so he went out there, and the Lord used him. The Lord used him to reach hundreds of slaves in Jamaica because of labor adaptability. He adapted himself. He could have easily done, like many do, and just say, you know what, I'll just serve them whenever they go out in the morning. I'll be out there early in the morning. I'll meet them when they go to work, and then I'll check them out at night, and that'll be my ministry. That wasn't what he wanted to do. He said, God sent me here to preach the gospel to people who need to be saved, and my ministry is ineffective. I will become one of them. When word got back to Europe what he had done, many were shocked. What are you doing? He said, I'm ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. He labored in a banana plantation. Now, that's not like growing cotton, but it's hard work. The planting and the harvesting and the work that was involved. And he said, my ministry was one of going and speaking to two or three men while we worked. He said, my hands were never idle. Are you listening to me? My hands were never idle. It was involved in the work, but my mouth was never idle either. It was speaking of Jesus. And God gave him an effective ministry because he was willing to labor and travail in the work of God. He was labor adaptive. I want to share with you a statement by Dr. John Woolward that I found. This is what he said. Dr. John Woolford was one of the early faculty members at Dallas Theological Seminary, knew Lewis Sperry Schaefer, who was the founder of that college. And this is what he said. The Christian life should not be a question of doing as little as possible. Rather, like Paul, our lives should be poured out in service for the Lord. Now, that's how Paul described his ministry. My life is poured out in ministry. I think today we got the American dream mixed up with ministry with God. And that's too bad. Because what you're doing is you're walking away from blessing. You're walking away from a blessing. And instead you're embracing something that's temporary and will be forgotten. The whole concept and idea of the American dream and just traveling the world and doing this and doing that will all die with you. You understand that? But what do you have that's going to be on the other side? What are you going to have that's going to be on the other side? You won't have anything to cast at the feet of Jesus because you're not labor adaptive. You're doing as little as you can to get by. And that brings us to the second word. Koros. The weariness of labor is emphasized by this word. We don't like weariness, do we? We don't like being worn out and tired. And a lot of people say, I don't like being worn out and tired in the Lord's work. I don't like that. So as soon as I can get out of it, the better. Really? God has a word for it. All right? It's called koros. In recounting the many hardships that Paul had endured as a minister of Christ, Paul tells the Corinthian Christians among these were, of his labors among them was hard work and toil. 2 Corinthians 11:27. It's our words for what we have here, labor and travail. You know, when I was with you, Corinthians, that was hard work. That was weariness. And he uses the word koros and makthos together. Uses both of those words to express the idea of wearisome toil and the consequent exhaustion and suffering that came with it. He wrote in 2 Corinthians 11:27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That's how he described his Christian ministry. Are you labor adaptive for God? Or if you've already got up a wall and said, I'm not going to cross this wall because I'm not going to live my life in weariness and toil. I'm going to have as much fun. I'm going to have as much. Now, there's nothing wrong with having fun. But when you refuse to be labor adaptive for God, look out. Because you've just exchanged something. You just exchange gold and silver and precious stones for wood, hay, and stubble. That's what you've exchanged, whether you recognize that or not. You can throw a few token things in the mix that are works of God, but I want to tell you something. We're at deadline urgency levels in this world. We are in a time period in which we are headed toward unprecedented violence. And people need the gospel. And we're coasting along, sipping our iced tea, and we don't have a concern in the world. We don't know what it means to labor and travail. Takes us to the third word that I want to close with, and that's ponos. And that's found in Colossians chapter 4. If you'll go back there, it's right before 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, the Lord tells us about a man by the name of Epaphras. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you. He was one of those in Colossae. He was a member of the church. A servant of Christ saluteth you. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Verse 13, for I bear him record that he hath a great ponos for you. The last word for labor is translated in several other places in the New Testament as labor. All right? The idea of working hard. He is working hard for you and them that are in Laodicea and them that Hierapolis. What a testimony that this Epaphras had. He was a part of the church of Colossae, but he was ministering in other places. God had chosen him to go to two other places, Laodicea, who we read about in the book of Revelation, the church that was planted there in Hierapolis. And what was he doing there? Was he drinking sweet tea and just enjoying the trip and the travels and so forth like that? No. The word that Paul uses to describe his ministry, actually there's two of them. One of them appears in verse 12, which I didn't even talk about. It's translated laboring in our translation, but it's the word agonizomos. Agony. Yeah, that was the kind of labor he was doing. And then zeal, we have in our King James Bible, is the word ponos, which means painful labor. Painful labor. Now you might think, well, I thought the Christian life was going to be a lot easier than that. I thought the Christian life's supposed to be, you know, just taking it easy in this world, rapture comes, we're out of here, and we go on to glory. You got a wrong perception of what it means to be a Christian in this world. Paul in 1 and 2 Thessalonians pairs two words. He does this often: labor and travail. Okay? Two of our three words used there. Kopos and makthos. All right? Labor, travail. On Labor Day in America, we take off and we play, right? We call it Labor Day. But we do everything but what? Labor. Okay? We're taking the day off from labor. Okay? So it really should be from Labor Day instead of Labor Day. All right? But do you realize, folks, people of Grace Bible Church, that God has called us to labor and travail in this world to reach people with the gospel and to teach boys and girls in Christian schools and minister to souls? And that work requires labor and travail, makthos, exertion, hard work. Yeah, that's what it requires for the glory of God. Do I hear an amen? Amen. God deliver us from the attitude that so many have today, where we try to escape from labor and travail. We plan our escapes away from it, from labor and travail, because we don't like it. We don't like it. Well, God didn't say for us to like it, did He? He said to do it for my honor and for my glory. May God help us. May God work in our hearts. I only pointed out three words today that Paul uses a great deal in his writings. And he often pairs the words labor and travail, because he wants to put in the minds of those that read of what's involved in the Christian life. It's a struggle, it's a battle, it's a conflict. And so on this Labor Day weekend, I hope we can take to heart some of these thoughts from God's Word. Our labor should not be sporadic or motivated by human feelings or desires, but based on God's leading and the reality of His presence as co-laborers with Him, the One who came and gave Himself for us, the One who was rich and for our sakes became poor. Right? The One who had all the glories of heaven took upon an earthly body and went through all the struggles and trials and difficulties and then went to the cross and died the cruelest of deaths. He labored and travailed for us. So whenever you get overwhelmed by this world, cast yourself at Jesus' feet. Amen? Cast yourself at Jesus' feet. Lord, evidently I'm laboring in the flesh, and I need Thy power and Thy strength to be able to carry on for You. May God help us to have that attitude today. I want to close with a poem by Henry Van Dyke. This was made into a hymn. It's an old, old hymn. But I close with these words. Those who tread the path of labor, follow where thy feet have trod, speaking of the Lord Jesus. They who work without complaining do the holy will of God. Every task, however simple, sets the soul that does it free. Every deed of love and kindness done to man is done to thee. Jesus, thou divine companion, help us all to work our best. Bless us in our daily labor. Lead us to our Sabbath rest. And that's with Him in glory. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity we've had today to be together in your house and to hear the work that's going on in the country of Chile. We thank you for their willingness to serve thee there. We pray that you would encourage them this morning and that we as Grace Bible Church attendees would be faithful in praying for them. Their work is not an easy work. It involves labor and travail, just like our work here involves labor and travail. I pray, dear Father, that you would work in our hearts and deliver us from the casual, shallow attitudes that are so prevalent in our world today, of the avoidance of anything that looks like labor and travail. And help us to realize that that's our call, that's our ministry in this world. And one day we will enter into our Sabbath rest for all eternity with Thee, our Savior, knowing the glories and the joys of heaven above because of the work that Jesus Christ did in our hearts here and our desire to serve Him here. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and lives today. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you take your hymn book, please? Let's turn to hymn number 530. Number 530. We're going to stand together as we sing this song. Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter, work in the glowing sun, work for the night is coming, when what happens? When work is done. Let's stand together as we close with this good hymn.
Work for the night is coming.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together today. We thank you for your precious word, and we thank you for the work that's taking place in the country of Chile. We thank you for a couple who are willing to give their lives in service to thee in a place that requires labor and travail, and they do so willingly. We thank you for that spirit and that attitude, and I pray, Father, that it would be contagious in our hearts and lives. Lord, we pray that we would not adopt the world's philosophy of how we do things, but rather, dear Lord, would seek to do your work, laboring and travailing, know that it's not for naught, but it's for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, dismiss us now with thy blessing. Watch over your people. Bring us back together again this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.